This is an Aero News Touch and Go for July 2, 2009. I'm Paul Plack. The lone known survivor of the crash of that Yemeni air flight in the Indian Ocean Tuesday is on her way home. First identified by officials on the scene as a 5-year-old boy, NBC News reported last night that Bahia Bakari is a 12-year-old girl, while the Associated Press still has her as a 14-year-old. NBC also reports that her physical injuries were limited to a broken collarbone and a few cuts and bruises. She reportedly spent 12 hours clinging to a piece of aircraft wreckage until search teams caught sight of her waving. She reported hearing voices around her in the early moments after the crash, but they all gradually fell silent. Her emotional trauma may be harder to gauge. Bahia has spoken by phone with her father, Kasim Bakari, in a suburb of Paris, and has been flown home now. Noting the trauma she's already been through, no one has yet told her that her mother, who was on the plane with her, has not been found. A white paper from members of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation has put forth a bold idea to the review of U.S. Human Spaceflight Plans Committee that NASA should work on the Moon and Mars and work with the private sector to serve low Earth orbit needs. The paper is titled Commercial Spaceflight in Low Earth Orbit is the Key to Affordable and Sustainable Exploration Beyond. It suggests that NASA can affordably and quickly enable the development of commercial spaceflight capabilities for both people and cargo to the International Space Station by making a series of careful, targeted investments. The premise is that to maximize benefits to NASA and the taxpayer, NASA should fund multiple fixed-price, milestone-based Space Act agreements for development of commercial crew capabilities, leveraging capital from the private sector. NASA has achieved notable bang for buck in recent years by seeding purses for private competitions. This could get interesting. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two runway incursions at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport in Ohio. The most recent happened last Friday morning. ExpressJet Flight 2426 and Embraer 145 was cleared to cross runway 24 left at Taxiway Sierra in order to depart from runway 24 right. About 19 seconds later, the same controller cleared Commute Air Flight 8717, a DH-8, for takeoff on runway 24 left. The ExpressJet flight crew saw the departing plane in time to tell the tower unable. They passed within 1,500 feet of each other. And then, back on the afternoon of June 3rd, a Boeing 737 was cleared to taxi into position on the same runway on which another E-145 was cleared for takeoff. The Embraer crew saw the Boeing, but the planes came within 500 feet of each other on runway 6 left. The same trainee controller issued the conflicting clearances in both cases. Sounds like somebody's in line to be separating Cessnas at Springfield. This has been an Aero News Touch and Go. Don't forget to check out our complete Aero briefing. There, we'll tell you about a special airworthiness information bulletin for Robinson Helicopters. The FAA says car bice accidents just keep on happening. And the Bell 429 gets its Canadian certificate. Also, check out the ANN special feature. Today, Frank Porter, CEO of Air Part Sales Unlimited, provides details on the upcoming first deliveries of an engine experimenters have been anxiously awaiting, the 80-horsepower turbocharged HKS-700T. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, iPodder, Podcast Alley, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.